The pandemic has led a lot of people to rethink their current living situation, whether that means choosing to buy or sell a house, move to a new city, consider going more rural. Things like remote work and school and lots of job changes are also broadening people's horizons, but things like high housing costs are also limiting options in some places. The first round of census data released gives a little bit of insight into where people might be moving. The three states that have seen the greatest rate of increase in their population in the last 10 years are Utah, Idaho, then Texas. You could join in at 800-642-1234. Have you moved in the last year? Across town, across the state, across the country? Are you thinking about moving soon? Do you think remote work may be the wave of the future for you? And what factors determine where you want to live? What are you looking for in a community? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can also post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Ryan Weichelt is an associate professor of geography at UW-Eau Claire. Ryan, welcome back to the show.
Thank you.
Big picture, what kind of things are you seeing with trends of where people are coming and going in the United States?
Yeah, it's pretty fascinating to see the census map sort of play itself out, but it's kind of continuing trends we've seen in the last 20 years or so, where we're seeing growth in the more or less southern areas, where we're seeing kind of stagnant growth in the northern areas. The three states you mentioned, Utah, Idaho, and Texas, all provide very fascinating different geographies in terms of why people are moving into those particular places and where they're leaving from.
What drives people to up stakes and move? Is it all economics? Is it weather? What factors go into that? And hopefully we'll hear from some of our listeners with their own personal reasons.
Yeah, I mean, certainly generalize. Everyone has their own decisions on why they move. But a lot of the theory associated with migration, the number one reason people do move, it tends to be economic. Does that mean potentially new jobs? Does that mean a family member gets a new job? Is it across town or is it across the entire country? Generally, people move because it's going to be a positive and they're probably going to make more economic sense moving to a new place compared to where they were. So economics certainly drives that, but I think the pandemic sort of has upended in that stuff a little bit.
Now, I've seen information pre-pandemic, some thoughts that we're becoming more sedentary in the United States. We're less likely to up stakes and move than we used to. And I know people might use different yardsticks to come up with conclusions. Had that been a trend?
I think if you live in certain areas and if you live in bigger cities, you tend to move more often in larger urban areas versus if you're in smaller urban areas into rural areas, you tend to move less. I think remote work, I we'll probably talk about that, but I think that sort of helps with that mentality is it provides you more flexibility what you're going to do and potentially could make you more sedentary in that particular sense.
Yeah, the census data, if I understand correctly, the yardstick, it applied to kind of very early in the pandemic. So it may not reflect, as I understand it, a lot of trends that may have emerged, you know, say in the second half of last year. What kind of things are you looking at as far as how the pandemic may have shaken up people's decisions on where they want to live?
I think we're all kind of chomping at the bit waiting for the census data to come out with the county level, census tract level, to get a better sense of what's happening with that. I think some regional trends that you might see, you know, we can use Wisconsin as an example. There were discussions where people moving up to the Northwoods because they were getting away from the Milwaukee or Madison area. We've seen sort of that take place in New York as people have left New York City and moving up into the upper parts of New York or even down into Florida. So I think that the newest census data, if it can kind of gauge some of that information, is to see, are these trends as popular as maybe the media made it out to be, or are they not as exciting as maybe some of us want to believe, that you can just zip off to a lake and spend the rest of your life working off the dock.
Talking to Ryan Weichelt, associate professor of geography at UW-Eau Claire, looking at trends in people moving, where they move from and to, what is driving those decisions. We're looking at some big picture stuff, and we're hoping you can zoom in on the details of your own life, your own decision, your own maybe family or community. Have you made the decision to move over the last year or two? What drove that? Have you gone from big city to small town or vice versa? Have you joined us here in Wisconsin from elsewhere in the country? What led to that decision? And has the pandemic made you rethink what is important in a place to live? Call in now at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas at WPR.org. Young people, Ryan, I think are known often as the people most likely to move, leave their hometown, go to the big city or whatever. Is that borne out generally in reality?
Oh, yeah, definitely. The younger you are, the less likely you're connected to a place. You maybe don't have children. That really kind of keeps people in place, having children. Young people definitely move more than any other group.
And you've been quoted in a couple of pieces looking at how migration trends, people moving from one state to another in particular, may affect American politics. What kind of things are you looking at?
Yeah, I mean, I think this is sort of borne out with the numbers that came out last week. You're seeing that growth again in the South compared to the northern parts. And for political purposes, you might see this, you did see this with the terms of reapportionment and the number of seats that people, that states are getting for the House of Representatives, but you're also seeing it sort of borne out in terms of statewide elections and then some of the laws that are being now passed in some of these states to sort of suppress some of the vote, which is being driven by large population increases.
Right. So a person moving from one state to another doesn't leave their politics at the state border, presumably.
No, certainly not. And I think, you know, some of the information that's coming out, I mean, we saw what happened with the growth in places like Arizona and Georgia. These are states that were traditionally very strong Republican states. And then you see the very small margins of victory for the presidency for Joe Biden in 2020. These trends will just continue because younger people as a whole tend to bring their politics with them and are sort of leaning more towards Democratic voters compared to Republican voters.
Let's bring in a caller at 800-642-1234. Christina is with us in Madison. Christina, hi.
Hi, how are you doing? Thanks.
Good. What do you want to tell us about?
Well, I was listening to your show and thinking about my sister who's moving here from San Francisco. She just closed on a house on Friday. And part of the reason that she decided to relocate is because of the wildfires out west. And she's just terrified of having to flee her home in the middle of the night with her two young kids.
Christina, thank you so much for sharing that with us. And Ryan, I know there's a lot of people look at California and the big cities. People point toward housing costs and things like that. But yeah, the wildfires turning into a potentially year-round phenomenon and the smoke hazing over the streets, that can be a unique factor that leads people out of an area.
Yeah, certainly. One of the parts of migration theory does talk about the impact of natural disasters. Things like hurricanes. We saw sort of that influence in the Katrina era in Louisiana, but certainly the fires, drought, all these things sort of play into people's minds. And if you're constantly, I've lived in California and you're constantly dealing with those fires, it can be tiresome.
Thanks for that call. We're talking to Ryan Weikelt, Associate Professor of Geography at UW-Eau Claire. You could join in at 800-642-1234. Has what you look for in a place to live, a community to live in, changed in the last 10 years? Or how about the last 1 year? What kind of places interest you the most right now? Have you moved recently? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or email ideas at WPR.org or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. We'll pick up the conversation, maybe hear from you, coming up on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Verrett. We're picking up our conversation with Ryan Weikelt, Associate Professor at UW-Eau Claire, studying geography and anthropology. We're talking about moving and what makes a place a good place to live. You could join in with your story or where you want to live, 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Let's go back to your calls with Carolyn in Southwest Wisconsin. Carolyn, hi.
Hi.
What do you want to tell us about, Carolyn?
I thought I would come in with maybe a different perspective than most people might come in with. I don't know. But I'm from Chicago. I'm actually in Southwest Wisconsin right now in the Driftless area where my parents live and have had a place for over 25 years. And I'm helping them move because not only are they getting older, which I don't think is like the major factor, the major factor for them is they have a beautiful forest and a cabin in the woods in the Driftless area. And there's an enormous CAFO farm going in next to them, which they, with other community members, tried to kind of fight about. And they, you know, to say the least, they decided to say, you know what, we're out of here. We're not going to live next to that. And so they're selling their place and moving closer to us in Chicago, not in Chicago, but closer in Illinois. And taxes are higher there and everything too. So it's not like an easy decision for them. But yeah, I mean, we're a little heartbroken about the whole thing, but happy they'll be closer.
And sad
to see this place we've loved for over 25 years in this beautiful Driftless area that's geologically extremely special, you know, we won't have it anymore.
Carolyn, thank you so much for sharing that story. Interesting push and pull going on there. Ryan, a beautiful area. Don't like the big, I assume, dairy farm next door. So across the border, they do it to Illinois. People are weighing a lot of different factors.
Yeah, that's certainly that's one where most people are leaving Illinois. So I guess Illinois is getting some people back a little bit. But all joking aside, certainly the, you know, reasons why people move are certainly multifaceted, and it many places have dealt with that sort of not in my backyard situation. You just don't want to deal with if it's a CAFO, if it's industry, that those can all be negative things that people are weighing that make people decide that, you know, maybe they didn't want to move, but the idea of moving somewhere else might be a little bit better.
Carolyn, thanks for sharing the story. Good luck with helping with the move. We'll go to Rick next in Madison. Rick, hi.
Hi, how's it going there, Rob?
Good. What do you want to tell us about, Rick? What do you got going on?
Oh, well, I love Wisconsin. I'm a native from Watertown, and I've been living in Madison most of my adult life, but the pandemic has made me reflect, and I'm planning on relocating to Albuquerque, New Mexico at the end of June for many reasons, some of them being lower cost of living and lower housing costs, the wide open spaces and outdoor recreation there. And I have been looking at other Western states, like you mentioned, Utah, Idaho, Colorado, those booming states, but cost of living is just a deterrent for those places, as beautiful as they are. So New Mexico is kind of more of a happy medium. So that's my plan.
Rick, thank you so much for sharing that. Sorry we're losing you from Wisconsin, but good luck on the move. Don't take a wrong turn at Albuquerque like Bugs Bunny used to do. Ryan, cost of living, cost of housing. Can you talk about what a big factor that can be?
I think that's probably one of the main reasons why you're seeing places like California and New York losing populations. The cost of living is so extremely high. I think San Francisco is probably the best example of seeing rents and housing costs in the millions of dollars for 1,200 square foot apartment. Those are big reasons people are leaving. And I think Idaho being brought up, and New Mexico is a beautiful place too, but Idaho is seeing that population growth where corporations have left California and moved to Idaho because of the cheaper cost of living, and the people came along with it, much more happy. They're also then attached to that nature sort of idea that many people like seeing the mountains and being able to get out into nature, and that becomes a really popular thing to help people move. But that cost of living is probably the main factor of getting them to move from one place to another.
Rick, thanks a lot for that call. I appreciate it. Ryan, as we look at states like California, I mean, they lose a congressional seat. Their population rate increase has slowed, but they're still a bigger state than they were 10 years ago. I think sometimes people portray it as, you know, California is just losing people in droves. The population is going up, just not as fast as places like Texas and others, right?
Exactly. I mean, 47 states all grew in population between 2010 and 2020. You look at it, they're based on, you know, the percentage, where we're sort of normalizing some of this data. The three states that lost were West Virginia, Illinois, and Mississippi. California still gained millions and millions of people. It's just much slower growth than they've ever experienced. It's the first time they've actually lost a seat ever. Mm-hmm. Because for a long, yeah.
Yeah. So as we look toward the future, Ryan, I mean, we can't predict the future, but do you expect to see a lot of these trends, people moving from, say, states in the Midwest to warmer states elsewhere? Is that something you think we're likely to see down the road too?
Yeah, I think the question that a lot of people are trying to figure out is, how much is this going to continue? And I think that question about remote work is sort of the million-dollar question, is how many companies are actually going to really jump in and say, hey, we're fine with remote work? Because that idea of remote work is something I'd say on a larger scale new to any person working in a job. That ability to live wherever you want and that freedom to go wherever you want is very appealing. And so you've seen corporations like Twitter, I think, was the first big one that said they're going to continue to do remote work up here by Eau Claire near Minneapolis. Target Corporation had decided that one of their big buildings was all going to be remote. If those trends continue, you're going to see probably greater amounts of movement to these places that people find desirable because of cost of living, it's this environment. But if it doesn't continue, right, and it's not as big, maybe the movement isn't going to be as great. And people are going to be pushed to the traditional areas. But I think you're still going to continue to see that southern, southwest sort of growth compared to the lagging growth compared to the old industrial areas of the United States.
And let's wrap up with things close to home here. What kind of trends are you watching for in Wisconsin? I know preliminary census data shows Dane County and surrounding counties are driving the growth in Wisconsin. What do you have your eye on here?
Yeah, I do. Certainly Dane County has continued this trend. But I think you're starting to see, you know, my own city that I live in Eau Claire is sort of in a unique geographic position that if that remote work is really continued, there's a number of people I know that live here in Eau Claire that work in the Twin Cities. And allowing that sort of remote work to continue could allow a place like an Eau Claire or some of these smaller, say, cities of 100,000, a bit more opportunity because of the cheaper cost of living and some of the amenities associated with that. If you do need to go to work, it's only an hour and a half drive away, but you can continue to do things remotely. And so I think seeing those trends of those cities on the periphery of the bigger areas to see how corporations and businesses are adjusting to this idea of the new remote working that potentially is upon us.
Ryan, we'll leave it there. Thanks for joining us.
All right. Thank you so much.
Ryan Weichel is an associate professor of geography at UW-Eau Claire. He joined us to talk about what makes a place desirable to live and how the pandemic could change that.